ChipChat is moving iTunes channels. Visit our website at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm and click on the link for iTunes to subscribe to the new feed. Welcome to ChipChat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
And we're back live from San Francisco. We're on ChipChat, and this is Allison Klein. We're at the Open Data Center Alliance Solution Provider Summit, and I've got Riaz Samani, VP of Product Development and co-founder of Cibra, with me today. Can you tell me a little bit about Cibra? See, I messed it up. Cibra. Will you tell me a little bit about your company, Riaz?
Well, thanks for having me here, Allison. We're a software company that provides predictive capacity analytics for companies transforming to trying to control and automate virtual and cloud infrastructure.
So tell me a little bit about predictive analytics as it applies to cloud.
Sure. If you look at cloud environment today, there's a tremendous amount of agility that's been achieved, allowing people to go and provision a container and stand up an instance right away. What predictive analytics brings is a way to manage the capacity more effectively so that you can appropriately manage supply versus demand and optimize that relationship. So you're not over-provisioning infrastructure, you're not under-provisioning infrastructure. You're able to maintain a certain level of SLA that the customer expects, but you can also make money doing so.
And I assume that you're expecting to do that in real time.
Well, actually, you know, what's interesting is the nature of predictive analytics is more future looking. So the requirement isn't necessarily for real time application. What we do is we look at the historical operational envelope of the tenants within the cloud. Mm-hmm. We factor in incoming demand, so future demand coming into that cloud as well. We look forward 90 days as an example. Looking at all of these aspects and looking at how these workloads or demand cohabitate, and we give you a model and we tell you how to optimize, how to place your workloads, how to allocate your resources so that you don't have to make movements in real time, because there's a cost to that. Mm-hmm. And so by proactively addressing it and prescriptively telling you where to place workloads and how to allocate the resources for those workloads, there's less movement in a real-time basis.
Now, obviously, the right allocation of resources is kind of one of the holy grails of the cloud. IT is famous for over-provisioning infrastructure to meet any particular IT demand for that sense of security, I would assume. What has the customer response been when you've talked to them about the ability to predict the type of workload requirements and drive a much leaner IT organization?
The response has been quite fantastic. You know, if we look at our top five customers, our average deployment in our top five is over 33,000 virtual or cloud instances. Mm-hmm. So it's quite significant. At the heart of where the appreciation is within the customer base is we've taken all of the various criteria for determining how how resources should be allocated for workloads, and we've boiled it up into very manageable policies. So it's all about understanding the policies with which you want to manage. So what overcommit ratio you want to have within the environment, what is appropriate utilization levels across CPU, network, memory, disk, what are your business constraints in terms of security zones, do I have to keep load balancers apart? Do I have any container or VM-specific policies, because they're always special candidates within the environment? And we've managed to allow a user to simply fill in these policies, and then it becomes goalpost-based management to see if you're within those policies. And from there, it serves as the foundation to truly drive automation, because once they can visually see, you know, how they're doing, our answers give them the ability to say, here's how you get to a good place within the goalposts. And then they start automating those answers.
You talked about the fact that real-time capacity planning comes at a cost. Some companies are using real-time capacity planning today. What would you tell them about the advantage, other than cost, of predictive analytics?
Sure. When I say that it comes at a cost, the concept of real-time capacity planning, we'll call it. It's a little bit of an oxymoron in that they've taken monitoring products and because there's a market, they've said, oh, we do capacity planning. Or they've taken historical kind of old school capacity technologies and tried to make it real time. But the paradigm doesn't work because you don't want to reactively be moving workloads or changing allocations because you have to temporarily suspend a VM. And there's a cost. There's an SLA or performance cost to it. Ideally, what you want to do is build a predictive model, looking at the history and the future expectations, and give an answer that allows you to move the workload in a maintenance window, so that you don't have to move it again. My analogy, if I may, is like if you were to do or create a conference in New York on Wall Street, and you had everybody fly into LaGuardia, you know, one option is to give them a navigator and try to make their way through traffic real time. Mm-hmm. Or you can give them a GPS, right? And a GPS understands the historical model, right, of what the traffic demands are or the traffic patterns, and it'll route you based on anticipated behavior within the environment, including other drivers. So ultimately, you know, if you look at it, you know, we're like a GPS, we'll say, for the data center.
You talked about goalposts and policies, and obviously customers have choice about how they set their policies in terms of over-provisioning, CPU utilization, et cetera. Do you guys have any best practices in that area that you recommend to clients?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we are a young software vendor. We've had the luxury of having our software run in, I think, over, you know, 270 of the global 3,000 customers and cloud providers. And what that allows us to do is look at the various patterns we see in the data centers, mm-hmm. and embody those results within our templates. So we actually ship with six out-of-the-box policies that are reflective of production environments, high-performance computing environments, dev test. So they have preset policies. Mm-hmm. And at a macro level, what we say is start with one of these, right, and then adjust according to your specific enterprise requirements. And I think what's critical is, you know, even with that, we can fully expect that once you deploy, on top of that, you're going to have to create what we call VM-specific policies. Because chances are in your organization, there are people that consider themselves special because they're application tier one, you know, they're critical applications, that over and above the cluster that you're managing or the environment you're managing, you're going to give them special privileges as well. So everybody needs to be treated special in one of these environments, and we facilitate that.
So it's kind of a journey where as they use your tools, they get more fine-tuned for the specific environments, the specific applications.
Exactly. And the beauty of Serba is that it represents itself in a very visual console. It's completely interactive, drag and drop, and so you can see where the outliers are, mm-hmm. and it becomes a management by exception, right? So why isn't a specific VM in the goalpost? So if it's not in there, is it an exception, right? Does it need a special policy, or is it, you know, truly in trouble? So it becomes an iterative approach where, you know, when day one, what we find is at least, you know, if it's 1,000 VM little cluster, right, 800 of them are outside the goalposts, right? And then you know, you take the automated actions, we get most of them into the goalposts, and then the stragglers, we say, well, do they require VM-specific policies because they're special? Right, and if not, what's the remediation? So, right. So it makes the whole problem manageable, we'll say.
It seems like it breaks it down into where you actually need to provide attention in the data center, rather than trying to look at every single workload and come up with something unique for it.
Absolutely, because right now, a lot of customers, without having a policy-based management of their virtual or cloud infrastructure, they're paralyzed. You know, they're getting calls because of their performance issues. Their boss is not happy because they're not achieving density that they promised. So it's an environment that does not necessarily foster, you know, proactive thinking. So we manage it for them. We say, you know, you deploy our control console, you plug it into the hypervisor, it provides you the visualization, you apply our policy, you know, based on the environment that you're running, you establish your goalposts, we start to get the dots into the center. It's a very simple paradigm within the goalposts. And then the outliers you deal with either exceptions or, like you said, you know, just VM by VM, right? Does it need a special policy?
Interesting. You know, talking to some of the end customers about what their challenges are today at the Open Data Center Alliance Solutions Summit, it seems like this would be something that would address some of the challenges that we've talked about. What is the market reaction to this suite of solutions been?
It's been absolutely fantastic. We've had very good penetration within the global 3000 from a service provider perspective as well. IBM, Dell, Cisco, Intel are all solution providers that take our product into the market now. Dell is actually training globally over these next 6 weeks because we just signed that deal. So outside of one vendor, right, we've become the industry standard for if you are considering virtualizing or going to the cloud, right, our analytics will help you manage that process of getting there and then optimizing it once you're there.
Yes. When you look at what you have in the marketplace today, what is next for Serba and what are you most excited about in terms of the future?
Sure. If I look at it from a product roadmap perspective, I mean, we're seeing a tremendous rate of evolution in the marketplace where workloads, and this ties very much to what the ODCA is trying to do. There is we see a natural progression where there will be workload mobility. The technology is going to be solved. It's in process, and so you know some of the solution providers are presenting today on that in terms of 1,000-mile plus workload movement.
Right.
Once that's there and there's fluidity, we believe that there's a marketplace that evolves, and there are elements of that marketplace that come to bear. So what we're excited about and one of the areas that we're very focused on is we have a unique capability in that we've introduced something called capacity reservations or bookings.
Mm-hmm.
So the current model of the cloud is one where you show up and you get something, right? And you pay for it. If you look at shared services, right, across other industries like the airline industry,
right,
the model very quickly evolved into one where there's matching of demand and supply through something called reservations or bookings. I don't show up to the airport and expect to get on a flight.
Well, not without paying a really steep price.
Exactly. So what we see with the marketplace evolving because of fluidity of workloads and, you know, you take away the hypervisors being an issue, is this requirement to establish a proper marketplace with respect to being able to reserve your requirement or capacity ahead of time. And so if you reserve it well ahead of time, you get a special rate. If you show up just in time or the day off, it's a more expensive rate. What we're working on from a product perspective is giving the demand owners or the application owners visibility into what their choices are, mm-hmm. either private cloud or public, as to where they can house the workload. And on the supply side, they have the ability to register their offerings, we'll say, based on their SLA level, based on, you know, what their container sizes that are available, their business that they support.
Now, in a future world, if we take that into account, do you see buyers becoming sellers in that case too, if they have added capacity available?
Absolutely. I think it's not a question of if it happens. I think it's when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
The paradigm is today, I think everybody high-fived each other because they were able to virtualize or move to cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a tremendous amount of waste. Right, and there because technology is not allowed that fluidity,
mm-hmm.
and that more real time or near time matching of demand and supply that hasn't been available, but there's no question that spare capacity will be put up, you know, for auction, we'll say. Today, customers do it internally by soaking up that spare capacity for grid.
Right,
and so that is a very mature model that exists. So any large financial institution does it right now, So it's just extending that model beyond the four walls.
Into a federated model of shared resources.
Exactly.
Interesting. Well, if folks want to learn more about what CERB is doing or want to get access to information about your tools, where would they go to find out more?
Our website's a great source. So it's www.cirba.com. And we have a number of videos right on the website that cover product demos. So what I've described today in terms of, you know, real life, you know, how does it materialize from a product perspective, some great videos right on the website.
And if folks wanted to engage with you and actually continue the conversation with you, how can they do that?
You know, feel free to reach out to me directly. I'm happy to have the conversation. It's an exciting time in our marketplace, and the ODCA event is one where it's very collaborative, I'm always open to hearing, you know, what other perspectives are in the market, because you know, we will do this together with others, not just independently.
Well, Riaz, I was really excited to have this interview because we hadn't had CERB on the program before. I've been following you guys and have heard a lot about your product offering, so it was exciting to talk to you today. Thank you for coming on the air.
Thank you very much, Allison.
With that, we're going to take a quick break, and I will be back with Shashir Pardikar, the lead architect at Citrix. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.